Welcome to The Psychology of Success. I'm Caden Terry, and each week I help young hustlers actualize their infinite potential by featuring interviews with world-class leaders in business, sports, and health. Now let's get into The Psychology of Success.
All right, welcome back to The Psychology of Success podcast. Today we have my good friend Eric Gubler on the podcast, and I'm so pumped to jam out today. So a little background on Eric. So he is a real estate agent investor, right, with Red Rock Real Estate. And he also owns Kangaroo Moving and Kangaroo Storage, which you just sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
The storage side of it, but you still have the moving.
Still the moving side.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you guys, a lot of my listeners, you've probably seen Eric's stuff on social media. We've reposted a lot of it. He's great on mindset, personal development, leadership. He produces some incredible content. Him and I met, you knew my brother from, how did you meet Kyler?
Oh, I think it's just through Justin Prince. I think he was doing some stuff with cars and
yeah.
That's how we met.
At the gym with him, yeah.
In the gym, yeah.
And then we met, because Kyler was always telling me about you when I was on my mission. Like, we talk on
Twitter, okay.
And we talk about how he met you and followed your stuff. And then I got back from my mission and then officially met you, I think, at Brody's Mastermind event, the goal-setting retreat.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's sick, dude. I'm pumped with all the success you're creating. So Eric just barely created a podcast as well. The Eric Gubler podcast.
It's pretty legit. Eric Gubler podcast, yeah.
That was one of his goals, actually, when we went to that mastermind mm-hmm. event together, and he did it. And it's so sick seeing that, man. So I'm excited to jam it out with you.
Well, I'm excited to be here, too. I love being on podcasts, so thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. So you have an incredible story, an inspirational one as well. So let's just start with that. Like, how did you get into business and where you are today?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, business was marriage drove me into business. Like, I got married when I was 25, met my wife. We dated for 3 months. We got engaged in 3 months. Yeah, we dated for 3 months. We were engaged for 3 months, and then we were married. And then 3 months later, we got pregnant. So, like, within 9 months of meeting each other, we were pregnant with our first kid.
Yeah.
And that just snapped me into, like, oh, shiz, life just got real. I'm not this college kid anymore that can just go and, you know, go out and do summer sales and make a bunch of money and then just like go do whatever. And I did that 1 year. I did really well. And that taught me a lot, but then I didn't want to go back out because I just saw all these people doing it for 5, 7, 10 years. And it was the same like story. They like go out, make all this money, and then they go spend it all. And then they have to go again. And they didn't, I was just like, I don't want that lifestyle. I know I'm going to be married. I know I'm going to have kids. And so I got into real estate instead, but I didn't get into real estate until I got married, and I didn't start the moving company until I got married. And here's why I feel like that's the case. I didn't have any student debt because I lived at home in college, but my wife had $7,000 in student debt. And after like paying for the wedding, and like I was going through school and I was planning on becoming like an OT or a PT. Mm-hmm. So I was going to exercise science at Dixie, now Utah Tech. And I just was like, holy cow, like now that I'm married and I have a kid on the way, if I pop out the other end of this like career path that I'm choosing, I'm going to start at like $50,000 with like $30,000 in debt. I'm like, that sounds terrible. Because I just got done not too long before that, like selling door to door. And I realized that I'm a hard worker. I'm good at selling and I'll just grind through it until I figure it out. And so I'm like, if I go and take my skill set into a like OTPT job, I'm going to be stuck.
Yeah.
And I'm not incentivized to work hard. And I'm just like, you just stay in this window of tolerance, right? It's like, don't work too hard where you burn yourself out and then just stay above like getting fired. And I'm just going to be in there. Whereas like, I was like, well, with sales or any type of sales, the sky's the limit. Like I can do whatever I want. And it just hit me. It hit me the first when I did sales. And then I remembered it again when I got married because it was like desperation because we were actually like on paper negative because of my wife's debt from going to school. And so I'm like, I freaked out. I hate debt. And so like being scared of debt and fear can be a good thing. And I think that's the principle to take away from this is like fear helped me to be able to move and to become who I am today because I didn't want to live in debt. And I saw my life and I was like, if I keep doing this thing that everybody says, like this 9-to-5 is great and go get your degree and all that BS, I was like, I will be stuck here my whole life. And then they tell me that at the end, I'll have this retirement and 401k and the government's going to take care of me. I'm like, who gives a crap about that? Like, I'm going to go figure it out and I'm going to go take it. So that, I feel like if that answers your question, that's what drove me to get into business, to become an entrepreneur and just get after it.
Yeah, totally. So once you got married and had your first kid, that's when it just sparked for you, right?
Yeah.
Because thinking like from your wife's perspective, that probably was kind of scary for her. I mean, seeing you were about to have like a solid job and then you tell her, hey, I'm going to go do my own thing. Like, how did she react to that?
Dude, it's funny because I hear that a lot. My wife is amazing. I married the right person in multiple ways, but one of the things I love about my wife, Corinne, is that she has always believed in me. And this is a point that I'm trying to make is, guys or girls, it doesn't matter, but do the things that you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And I had done that enough times in our dating, engagement, marriage that far where she trusted me. Like, I was a good athlete. She saw that. She saw that I worked hard at that. She saw that I worked hard at school. She saw that I worked in other things. And it was like, I kept my commitments and I worked hard. And so she's like, well, she just has told me, like, I never worried about you. Mm. I knew you were going to make it happen. So she didn't. Like, she was just like, all right, go for it, you know? Mm. Because, and before that, you know, I would flip furniture. So I would get on Craigslist and KSL and Facebook Marketplace, and I would find like a mattress or a couch or a piece, like an armoire or something, and I would go flip it and make money. And I would make like, in 2 hours, I'd make $300, and she would go work at the hospital. Then she'd come home and work a 12-hour day. She'd make like, you know what, 20, you know, that's like $200 or something after like taxes and everything. It's just like, well, screw this. Like, you worked 2 hours and made three more than me. But it was like little things like that. I was able to like show her like, hey, I got this. We can make this work. Mm. So she trusted me. And I think that's why, to be honest, because I get that a lot. Well, my spouse doesn't trust me, or like my spouse is worried about it. It's like, well, are you doing the things that you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do them? Does your wife trust that you're about it and that you're going to figure it out? Or does she feel like you're not living up to her expectations subconsciously? She married you for your potential. You married her for her potential. Like, are you living up to that potential? And I think that's the key.
That's good. So you both have that trust from the beginning, right? So yeah. There's potential. Love that. Is that when you jumped right into real estate? Like, you went and got your license right after? Or how did you even get into that?
Yeah.
Or real estate, businesses or what?
Real estate, it was funny. So all good things in my life can be tracked back to pickleball somehow.
Dude, you got to tell them how big you are at pickleball. I was talking to Justin Manning the other day, one of our young hustlers. Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, oh, you know Eric? Yeah, dude, he's legit. Because he says that you don't brag about it at all, but you're like a pro.
Used to be legit, yeah. I mean, I'm still okay. I still can hang, but I used to play at the highest level of pickleball, which sounds kind of dumb, really, but it's kind of cool. Like, yeah, it's pretty hard to be at that level and compete. But
so it all goes back to pickleball.
A lot of relationships, man. I mean, there's so many people that play pickleball all over the country. It's like the fastest growing sport in America. And when you're at that level, especially in St. George, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, thousands of players. And they all know you, because at the top, there's not that many. There's like a group of maybe like 10, 15. And so you're just kind of up there and everybody kind of looks up to you for advice and whatever and wants to get better. And so there was a guy that wanted to get better, and he's like, he was a broker for a real estate brokerage. And he just approached me one time. He's like, dude, I like your morals and values, and I like you. I know you're a hustler. You're obviously good at pickleball, but I feel like you could be really good at real estate. And I was like, you know what? I think I would be, because I was good at sales and things like that. And to that point, I'm going to pause there for a second and just bring out the point that, like, I feel like all good entrepreneurs have to believe in themselves in some way, shape, or form. Like, they have to, like, one of the things I've been blessed with, I don't know where it comes from, probably my mom, is like, if they can do it, I can do it. Like, I really believe that. Like, oh, dude, and it's not like a poo-poo on them. It's more just like, no, you gave me permission that I can do that. Like, if you just made it happen, I can do that. I just got to follow the recipe and I can make it happen. And I think a lot of people struggle with that self-confidence, and then they never try. But the truth is, they can do it. they can totally make it happen. So anyway, he told me I should get into it. My instant reaction was like, yeah, I could do that. He was making like $300,000 a year. And me at that time, I was like, holy cow. Like, if I could make $300,000.
How old are you at this point?
25, 26.
Yeah.
Right in there. Yeah. And I was like, even if I have to work 10 years to get to that point, like, that would be so sick. Like, I would make, I my life would be complete if I can make $300,000. And so I got my license. I got started. It's always a slow start, but been able to come. It's all just come to fruition now. All the work that I put in the last 7 years since I started. And now I'm like one of the top, like I'm in the top 10% of any agent in Southern Utah. So it's like, just work hard and try to treat people right, and they refer their friends, and like, yeah, you just keep going. So it's funny now, because now that person that got me into the business is taking me out to lunch this week for advice. Crazy.
Dude.
It's like flipped. It's crazy.
Wow. Dude, so you got going with real estate. Things are taking off. Then you got the moving company on the side, right?
Yeah.
So how did you get going with that? What's the story behind that?
The moving company was something that I started to make sure that I would get into real estate and like stay. So I would hear so many stories of people that were like, couldn't stay in real estate because you could go 6 months and without a deal and starve at the beginning. And I'm like, well, moving is kind of related to real estate, and I can keep that going maybe, or even if it's just around where like I can work on real estate and like building clientele, but I can move people and like build relationships with other agents, which I should be doing anyway. And then they'll refer me their clients that need to move. And so I just built that business. And, you know, back then there was only 5-6 moving companies. Now there's like 30. I don't know. There's a ton. But the first year we netted over $100,000. And I was like blown away. I was like, wait a minute, this is Utah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Utah, everybody just, the Elders Quorum moves them, right? Like that's what I had no idea that there was a market for moving in St. George, Utah. Because all growing up, I mean, I never heard of a moving company.
Yeah,
I was always the church that would come in and your neighbors and everybody would load up the U-Haul, right? I don't even think I remember seeing a moving truck. I wasn't really looking for it, but like, yeah, it just blew me away. So it turned into this like side hustle, like just get by. I think my goal, I remember telling my wife, my goal is if we could just get 3 moves a month, we can make it. Like 3, maybe 4. But like we can pay all our bills, pay for rent, pay for our food, and we'll be good. And then it was like within 2, maybe 3 months, we're booked out every day, sometimes twice a day. And it just blew me away. And I was scrambling like, where do I get guys and materials and how do we get better and quit breaking stuff? And like, it's just like crazy, wild west.
So that's a win-win, because you saw, well, I guess you didn't really see the need, more so you did it as a way to find new real estate clients, but in a way it's turned into something bigger than that.
Yeah, right? It's self-sustaining. Like now I don't do anything with it really. I never move people personally. I have people that manage it for me and they go out and do the moves and I just get paid. Like I just get money coming. I handle the books and make sure that everything's like balanced. And it's a very simple business. Like I pay them $20 an hour. We charge $50 a head. So I'm bringing in 30 per head. I obviously have like, that's not all mine, cause I got to pay for insurance and general, all that stuff. But my point is like, you know, I have 4 guys out there, 3, 6, 9, 12, you know, $120 an hour, and I'm not even working. That's pretty good. Like I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, plus everything else that I do. So it's a cool little gig. It's going to be funny. Like it'll be like 5 other moving companies that come from this podcast. Cause people are like, oh, hey, that's pretty good. that's fine. I think there's an abundance out there.
Yeah, totally. And that's part of the thing with what you're doing with real estate, right? If someone buys a home from you move them for free.
Yeah. That was day one. Like, hey, this is a great idea. And that's why we got into storage, and that's a whole other story, but like why we sold and this, that, and the other. But the goal was to keep it so we could have moving, storage, and real estate. And that one didn't quite work out because I had partners and they wanted to sell. I wanted to keep it, whatever. Still made money, but I just wanted to keep it so that I could have that be like my hub. Uh-huh. And then bring the moving clients into the storage and have like this trifecta. It would be awesome. But we'll just have to do another one. But anyway, Yeah, it was always the plan. I feel like it really has helped me my first year in real estate from when I did my first deal, because it took me like 6 months to do my first deal. And then from there, 12 months, I did 16 deals. And I was like, hey, that's pretty good. Like,
dude, what switched?
It's just like, once I remember sitting in the car with my wife and I was driving and I was just like fired up. I was like, I know I can do this. Like, I know I'm a hustler. I'll work hard. I know I haven't done a deal yet, but I get it. Like, I can help people through this and I'm a quick learner or whatever. Like, and if I can just get one, I know it'll help me roll. And that's exactly what happened. Like, somebody gave me a shot. I was able to get my first one. It just seemed like ever since then, business has never stopped. Like, I've been able to just roll it and roll it and roll it. And I don't know, man. I just feel like if somebody can survive in real estate for 2, maybe 3 years of just like getting by, then you can hit like some pretty big numbers, because then you have people referring and coming back, and you know, you help them buy, now they're ready to sell, and you can really snowball. Mm-hmm. But 2, 3 years, if you can just like, if people know that you're a full-time real estate agent for that long, you can make it work.
So that's your full-time gig now. That's what you focus day to day, your real estate stuff.
Real estate in general. Like, yeah. I mean, I definitely am always like, the most of my energy is spent helping people buy, sell, and invest, helping others. But aside with like very closely related to that, I'm doing everything that I can to create passive income and purchase real estate or do anything related to real estate to where I can just grow that passive income. And then I am a coach at Real Estate Investing School with Brody Fawcett. And so I coach, I don't know, like 10 students, something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we've talked about that on the podcast. We had Brody on, talked about the Real Estate Investing School. So my listeners know all about it. It's legit. What kind of coach? Like, because I know they have different types of coaches, right? Like, I guess different specialties.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's your specialty?
No, they always just mean the mindset coach. That's what all of their coaches joke that Eric's the mindset coach. He's the one that fires everybody up.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say just like I can help somebody with development because I've done that. And but then just like, hey, how do you work the numbers where everybody wants to get into long-term rental or short-term rental, but those are tough in Utah. So long-term, short-term, and then like development, I would feel like is what I've helped people the most with.
Uh-huh.
So some commercial.
Yeah.
Yep.
So talk about mindset, dude. I want to dive more into that. So you and I have kind of similar stories, I guess more lessons learned from life that are very similar. So you may have heard about my different heart surgeries that I've had.
Yep.
It's been super challenging for me. And in the moment, dude, it made me realize even more so looking back, like how precious life is and how every day is a literal gift from God, right? And how, you know, it's just, you never know when today could be your last.
Right.
And you have an incredible story within, you know, that mindset of, you know, every day is a gift. And I know it personally, but I love for my listeners to hear it from you firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of chatting before, and I mean, I don't think we recorded this. Like, life happens for you, not to you. And I think you and I would both agree with our different situations that's the case. Tony Robbins talks about his mom and how she was abusive and how grateful he is for her, because he has been shaped by her to where he doesn't want any human being to go through suffering like he did. Mm. And I mean, it was intense, like crazy intense, his story. But he almost thanks his mom. He does. And that to me is so impressive. And he just believes in that so much, that life happens for you. And so I can look back and feel the same way about mine. So I mentioned how marriage definitely changed my life. And there's these pivot points where God puts these things in your life. You know it's him. You know he's putting it there. You don't realize it at the time. But you look back and you're like, that was God, 100%. Like, that was a big moment. And I was praying for it. I wanted it to happen, but not like that. But he knew and he put it there. So when this was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I had sold a lady's house in Santa Clara. She needed to move to Palm Springs, California, and I have a moving company. So she's going to pay me to move her, and I was giving her a discount because I normally move people locally for free. But anyway, she's paying me to move her to California, and I'm like, well, I'll be on the move because she's my client and I want to take care of her. She has Marriott points, and she sets us up at this sick, like, right on the golf course, timeshare. Me and my buddy that are moving her, like, it's not even that much stuff. We're like, this is an easy move, number one. And we're at the sick timeshare in Palm Springs. We're living it up. We got this master suite. It was dope. And the next morning, wake up in Palm Springs, go head over to the clubhouse where our truck is parked in the parking lot. And there's propane just like pouring out of the back of the truck. And I'm like, what the freak? And because we told her no propane, and we saw two propane tanks that went in her car. We put them in her car.
Yeah.
But there was a grill, and we forgot to check inside the grill because we saw the two propane tanks, and we're thinking, why would you have three? I don't know. It snuck on, and it was full, and so it was just all this propane. It had been leaking who knows how long. And we open up the back of the truck, and I think to myself, like, let's let the air out for a second, then I got to go turn it off. So it's not easy to vent a truck because there's no, like, in and out. Like, there's just the back. So there's not, like, another door to open where that would vent and flow through, like, the airflow. So I was like, I got it as good as I could, and then I just kind of held my breath and went in. The grill was in the middle of the truck. Luckily, the truck wasn't full, so I could climb over stuff and navigate through it. I get to it. I'm still, like, not breathing, and it's, like, getting difficult. I lift up the cover of the truck, and I see a spark from my finger, and I hear this, like, you know, like when you touch a trampoline, mm-hmm. little spark ignites all the propane in the truck around me and right in front of my face. I, like, somehow had a hat on and, like, turned my face so I didn't get any, like, burns on my face. But I had second-degree burns on all my arms, legs, basically anywhere where I didn't have clothes. I had a short-sleeve shirt and shorts on. And so I was just bloody and, like, skin hanging off me and, like, it flew me out like a cannon onto the asphalt, and I'm like going into shock. I don't know if I have fingers, toes. I don't know if it's black because of the explosion. Like, it just shook me up. I, like, couldn't see. It was, like, really blurry. I didn't know if I was going to have sight problems, hearing problems. Like, I didn't know. It was so loud. It's pure adrenaline panic. And so call the ambulance. They take me in the ambulance. Then they're like, hey, we got to take him to San Bernardino. It's too far of a drive. We got to live flight him. Put me in a helicopter. Get me to San Bernardino. They clean me up. They're like, do you want any drugs? And I'm like, no, because I got to somehow find my way out of here because I'm alone. The other guy was still back there. It was just a crazy story. But the point, or I guess the whole, like, life-changing event actually happened in the helicopter on the way. So when I was up in the air, it all just kind of, I was like, I kind of came out of shock, almost like an out-of-body experience. Everything got quiet. You know, I just forgot about everybody around me and just silent. And I had this thought just pop into my mind. I knew it was from God. It's like, if you were to die right now, which you could, they were saying I could die because it could have gotten in my lungs and I would just, like, my lungs would just, like, collapse. And, like, because of the flame would have, like, singed my lungs and I would just be dead. And I had my little girl. My wife is pregnant with our second. And I'm like, the thought was, if you were to die right now, would you be happy with the life that you've led so far? And I thought back my whole life, and I was like, yeah, I'm kind of proud of that. But, like, there's these gaps where I, like, did I really give it my all? And I was like, yeah, it was just like ho-hum, man. It was like, I don't think I'm, like, totally all-in committed to just becoming the best version of me. And I don't think I see this life as a gift from God to be able to become better. And that shook me. And I can trace all of that, like the fire that I have to, like, help people become the best version of them and for me to become the best version of me to that moment when God basically was like, hey, like, this is a gift. Don't mess it up. Because if you get up there, get up here with me, and you haven't done your best, I know you. You're competitive. And if you don't do it, you're going to be disappointed. So this is my little reminder. Go take it a little more serious. Pat me on the butt. Get out the door. Let's go. That was how it felt, man. And that's why I am the way that I am. If people think I'm, like, a little intense sometimes. I get that sometimes. Like, I'm sorry. It's just how I view life. And I view it because of that experience. I view it that way because of that.
Dude, fires me up so much, you know, because it's so similar to my story, man. Like, it's, I started the podcast laying in my bed recovering from one of my heart surgeries because I thought, okay, well, I'm just laying here. Like, what can I do to inspire and to help other people actualize their infinite potential that they have inside? Just like you're talking about, that's from God. It's like we all have that inside. And that's when it clicked for me. It's like, man, I have so much untapped potential. I want to go out and meet other people that are actualizing that potential and then duplicate it for other people and share that. And so that is really what I'm passionate about. Why I do the podcast? Because I love helping other young hustlers actualize their infinite potential, right? It's on the poster that we have here in the podcast studio. Visualize, optimize, actualize, because we all have it inside of us. Well, sometimes it takes events like that to actually realize that.
Wake up. Or we just need to get out of our own way, or we need to be around better, bigger groups where people just already think that way and they're leading you, right? I think that's a big key. One of the things that you said too is like, yeah, we have that potential. And it's like, yeah, it kind of woke me up to that potential. But the truth is, like, I love this saying, and I say it all the time, what you're capable of becoming, you haven't even imagined yet.
Yeah.
And that's powerful. I look at that and I just think, holy cow, that's so true. So I just need to be on the path and be working as hard as I can. If I just keep opening doors, God's going to lead me there. Mm-hmm. Like, he wants it for me, right? And you have to also, along with having a belief in yourself, I feel like having a belief that God, being the most, like, omnipotent being, most powerful being in the universe, is on your side wanting you to win.
Yeah.
And is, like, hand in hand, like, in line with that. Sometimes, I'm going to say this, like, sometimes I think in the LDS culture, Utah culture, we think to ourselves, oh, we have to be humble. We have to just wait for it to come to us. Let's just like, just chill out. If we're just obedient and righteous, God will just like sprinkle blessings on us. That is the farthest thing from the truth. And I want to just debunk that whole idea. That is not what God wants you to do. God wants you to take action. He cannot bless you and help you and help you become the best version of yourself if you buy into that wussy mentality. Like, you have to pull yourself out of that and just say, God wants me to be a monster. He wants me to go get it. He wants me to do it morally, honestly, fail, but he wants me to get it. Mm-hmm. And it's mine. And there's an abundance that I will never take enough to where there's not enough for everybody else. There's so much out there. Mm-hmm. So just go get it. Just go get what's yours if you want it, right? So I think that's important to understand, man. For all of your listeners, I think some of them are LDS probably, and I'm LDS as well. It's like, get rid of that mindset that sometimes just like this cultural thing in the church.
Being timid almost, you know? But I mean, it seems like, because it's interesting, like I've talked about this before with some of my young hustlers, like if you look at how God introduces himself, he could use any words, but rather he says that he's a creator, right? He's producing. He's not reacting to his environment. He's creating.
I created the heavens and the earth and with my word.
He's out producing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the same way. We're given so many opportunities, that agency to go out and to actualize that potential. He gave that. It's all inside of us. We all feel it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was thinking about this morning, like people that struggle with drug abuse. Like, they're doing that because they're looking for that happiness inside of them.
Yeah.
Right? We're all searching for that happiness, whether it's through relationships, whether we go to drugs or soda or lifting weights, whatever. We all have the drive to find happiness, right?
Yep.
And God, he's taught us simply that you do that through creating and through following him and creating value for other people and serving.
Yep.
And so it's those same principles that it's incredible.
Dude. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Love it. So kind of you mentioned that surrounding yourself with the right type of people it's been so influential in your life. And that's how we met, through a mastermind. How have those groups helped you, and even coaching?
I'm a competitive person. And if your listeners feel like that they're a competitive person as well, then being around higher level people is essential to your growth. And I don't look at people that are doing bigger things than me, because there's always a bigger fish, as like a competitor. again, I look at it as they gave me permission. I'm genuinely happy for them. I want everyone to make a lot of money and to do it the right way and to gain value, personal value, be able to go create value for the world. Because to me, everybody should. And that's just how my mind works. And being in higher level rooms where you're around people like that all the time, you could have one thought that comes from something. Somebody says it just the right way, the right angle, and that can totally change your life. You could have build one relationship that you don't even use for a year, but you had that mastermind, you kind of stayed in touch on social media, and then some opportunity arises where it's like, Caden, he's the guy. I need to call him. And you have that relationship. You both have been pushing hard for 12 months, but it's like this perfect segue of like, we're going to crush it together. That could change your life. Like, not only does it push you, it connects you with people that help you, and then it like gives you permission that it's possible. And so, like, you have an event coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, by the time this airs, it'll be over.
It'll be over. Okay, yeah. So it's over now.
But we'll do more.
It was
more.
A great event. Yeah, life-changing.
Lights out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, Eric's a sponsor of the event because he understands the power of masterminds, right? But we'll be doing plenty more in the future. But
Yeah. We have one coming up here, too, in September. So if anybody's interested, this is a very, like, hands-on, like, this is actually the first event that I ever attended was like this, was the program. We're bringing it to St. George, and it is very physically exhausting, kind of CrossFit style. It will break you, mental, emotional, spiritual, like taxing in all of those areas, but it changes you. And I can link another huge leap in my life to that event. I remember in Nashville is where it was, and I remember at the end of the event, after the 3 days, I went down to shower, and they're like, you know, trying to pitch you on like being around for 12 months and being part of the program. And I was like, I know I should. This was life-changing. These are the people that I want to be around. I need a group like this. But man, do I want to spend the money? And then it hit me. It's like two things. One, do I want the money that I have to just sit in my bank account and do nothing for my personal growth? No. And then the other thought was rising tides raise all ships. And I saw my family tree in that moment in the shower. And I thought to myself, how does my life look different if I go all out in the next 12 months with this program? How does my life look different? My wife's, my kids, their spouses, their kids, my great grandkids. How does that change my family tree? Like it totally does. Because my example rubs off on them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, done. I let go of 30 grand that day. Cash for the whole year. A lot of people paid month to month. I was like, I'm in. Paid it.
Have you done anything like that before?
Paid 30 grand for a mastermind event? No. I hadn't.
Dude.
No, but it's been life-changing, and now we're bringing it to St. George so that others can experience it. Look, you don't have to pay 30 grand to be part of it. Just come to the event. The event alone will be worth it. It's $2,000 to come on-site, $1,500 if you want to drive up from St. George. The $500 just helps with lodging because we rented out the whole facility. And it's life-changing. So if anybody listening to this wants to come, you can reach out to you and DM me at eGoogler on Instagram, probably the best way. But you and I both know, like, those are those things, those events, those people are life-changing. And if you don't go to this one, you don't go to Caden's, go to one. Like, just go to somebody's because it'll change your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's crazy. The connections you get from those events, right? And the doors it opens. Like, I've met a lot of people I've interviewed on the podcast through different events that I've spent money to go to. And because of that, it's opened up different business opportunities.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
The money is the barrier to entry, right?
Like, it's all it is.
The more money that you have to pay for an event, you should almost be more excited because that means that the people that were weak in their mind that couldn't spend the money because, oh, is it really going to be that good or whatever? The people that are going to be there are all in. So, like, I'm doing a hike in 2 weeks that's 30 miles all uphill in, like, 2 days. Like, we go through the night. And the reason I'm doing it is because I'm around a ton of millionaires, multimillionaires and millionaires. Like, one dude sold his company at, like, 30 years old for 60 mil. He's in our group of 10. There's going to be hundreds of people there, though. And it's, like, it's $5,000 to go hike a hill and go through a bunch of pain. Like, why would anybody
My mom said I was stupid. She literally called me and said that was the most stupid use of money. You could go buy food storage, is what she said. You go protect your family. You could like go do all this stuff. And I'm like, Mom, you don't understand. That $5,000 that I'll spend hanging out with those 10 guys and all of us, we will share value with each other that will help us level up again. That $5,000, I guarantee you, if you were to look at the direct like ROI, it'll 100x. Like that'll turn into $500,000 easy. Could turn into $5 million. You never know. But if I don't invest that and then go and meet those people, I'll never know. Like, you just go do it.
So you make the jump, you have the confidence to spend the money, right? Once you're there, how do you get the most ROI?
Open your dang mouth. Like, be a good dude. Don't be a peacock and just, I call it peacocking. Like, oh, I've got all the answers. I know all of it. Like, me and Brody talk about this, and we were talking about this in Vegas, I think. It was like pillow talk when we were going to bed. It's like, we just hate it when people come to masterminds. Like, he went to a mastermind where they were in a room, and they asked this one dude, so what do you need to work on in your business? It's like, I'm good. I got it all figured out. Okay, but like, there's got to be something. No, I'm good. He's like, and so Brody's like, why the freak are you here? Like, if you're just going to do that the whole time, it's not going to do you any good. Be vulnerable. Be open. And that's a big part of this is like, look, everybody's got something. It's either a porn addiction, a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction. Some people have been cheated on their wives. Some people will, I don't know, like they steal a lot. Like some dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to talk about it, even though it's way more normal than we actually realize. Yeah, that's true. And the reason why you're struggling with it is because you won't open up and talk to other men about it. And if you would and get in groups like this, just removing that one thing out of the way, boom. Like you can store that way too. There's so many ways that you can do it. Get rid of crap or just learn one thing that's going to skyrocket you to the next level that you need to get to. Because
really, I noticed that at the event, because that was kind of like the first mastermind event I went to was Brody's with you. And I noticed that about you. I think that's why we connected so well, because you were vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And you were just real, man. And we talked about all our problems and how we can find solutions. And because of that, I realized, man, like all these guys that I look up to, like they've got issues too that they're working through, just like me. Like I'm not alone. And I think that was the biggest perspective changer. It's like these people that I look up to, they're not just robots just crushing it. Yeah. Like they're just like me trying to figure it out.
Yep.
Right?
Yep, absolutely. We're all human. We're trying to figure it out. And a lot of us struggle with the same things. Just are we willing to like open up and be vulnerable about it? Because when we do that, we're really asking for help, and everybody's willing to help. We don't think that enough. Like people are willing and wanting to help you. You need to open up.
Here's a question. How do you approach people? Like if you're needing help or you're not being needy or you're not, you know what I mean? Because I feel like for the young hustlers out there, they're like, well, I don't want to approach people asking for help because I don't want to be annoying or I don't want to come off the wrong way. I don't really know this person. I mean, what should they do?
I mean, I see two different options in my brain. It's like help for something to like scale or help like dump issues like addiction or something like that. I think they're different. I think if you're asking for help, give first. Don't just ask and like be a taker. Be a go-giver and it will come to you. Like find a mentor that you love and you want to be around and go give him something, a personal gift or add value in some way to his life. Don't be the person that says, hey, can we go to lunch? I know that's normal. And I know that's normal for a young person. It's not a bad thing. But if you really look at it, like some people, a big reason why I have the podcast is to get around high level people that I can't take to lunch.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to. If I took them to lunch, they could be losing $5,000 because their time in an hour, they make $5,000 an hour. So it's like, I just bought you a $12 lunch and I just cost you $5,000. Like, how can I justify doing that? So give. They want to tell you their story. They want to help you, but you got to get their attention. So I think that's on that side. On the addiction side, I think you have to be in a place where you're humble and ready. And you just got to say it. Like people, I think in general, maybe it's just Utah, but I think it's people, they want to help. Like I think that they want to help you, whether it's drugs, alcohol, porn, I don't know what other addictions are, Netflix, gaming. Like
People want to help you. They really do. And so if you can just come from a place of like, I'm willing to put in the work, but man, I'm weak. Man, I'm broken. It hurts. I think I'm going to fail. I'm probably going to relapse, but I want to change. Who's going to say no to that?
Dude, and the growth that comes from those moments is just incredible. You know what I mean? Because when you have the humility to realize that you need to work through this problem and you work with other people, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Because you realize, look, I'm not alone, man.
Yeah. This is maybe going off a little bit, but this is one of the things I've talked about. Maybe we can just open about this for a second, and hopefully people take this the right way. OUR, the movie with OUR, I haven't seen it yet, but Tim Ballard, seen one of some of his other ones, but sex trafficking is a big thing that's talked about right now, and it has been for a little while. He's kind of brought it to the forefront, right? So you have porn, and that can be a big problem for 99.9, if not 100% of males in some aspect, some way, shape, or form. Every single male on the face of this planet, I feel like, has come across, maybe not in Africa, but like in America, you've seen porn at some point in your life. It's just there. Okay. Guys struggle with it. So number one, you're not alone. Number two, get it out of your life, because it's only going to take you down a rabbit hole. It gets worse and worse and worse. And I personally feel like a lot of the people, there's a huge market. It just blows my mind how many people buy and sell kids. And I feel like you take porn out of the picture, they're not desensitized enough to ever think of doing that. At least a huge percentage. I don't think you're born attracted to kids. I think it's you've been manipulated in your mind through some really hard stuff that you've seen. So my point is this: if you were to open up, like I just said, earlier in that process, instead of hiding it and being ashamed of it, and oh, I'm the only one that struggles with this, when you're not, you don't risk getting there to that point. Doesn't mean you ever will either. I don't want anybody that's looking at porn, listening to this right now, thinking that, hey, if you don't stop, you're going to be a pedophile. No. But you, like, if you can just stop or even slow it down or even get 1% better. I just got on a Zoom call with a dude that was struggling with it, and he just paid prostitutes. He just got off an LDS mission like a year ago. He's out doing sales, and he's paying prostitutes to come and do stuff to him. And he just broke down. He's like, I got a big problem. I got a porn problem. Now I'm paying prostitutes. You know what I told him? It's like, dude, just get better. If you look at porn for 4 hours a day, look at it for two. And then look at it for one. And then go every other day. And then try and go for 3 days. And don't beat yourself up. And don't feel ashamed and guilt, because that's going to throw you right back through the cycle. And you know what? Bringing other people in, you should probably stop that. But if you do it again, instead of a blowjob, have her give you a hand job. Just get better. I know that's a little explicit. I'm not trying to be like dirty or anything. It's just, it happens. This is real crap. Like, it happens. There's people listening to this right now that probably paid prostitutes. They could. It happens more. And I guarantee there's plenty of people that are listening to this right now that have looked at porn or are currently addicted to porn or afflicted by porn, I like to say. Like, you're not a straight addict, but you're afflicted by it because you keep going back to it maybe every week or every month or something, and you don't want it in your life. So if that's the case for you and you feel that way, like, just get better. Just get 1% better. Quit the shame and the guilt. Reach out to people. Reach out to me. Like, if you struggle with that stuff, like I said, 100% of guys have struggled with it. Guess what? I'm included in that realm, but I've been able to, like, work on it and get better. That should be everyone, right? And that was when I was in the accident. That was one of the biggest things. My wife knew about it, but that was one of the biggest things that hit me of like, you can do better. Like, you need to stop that shiz. And that changed my life. Mm. That was huge for me in my recovery and getting better and sober, like all of that. So if people are struggling with that, like, dude, you're normal. You can still be successful. You still have value. Uh-huh. Like, you're still an amazing person. No matter what your brain tries to tell you, you're just at a huge dopamine low when you crash and burn after looking at it. So And if you're in a low moment, if you're in a high moment, just reach out. Like, shoot me a DM. Mm-hmm. If you want to quit, if you want to stop, if you want to get better.
I think the thank you so much for sharing that, man. It's
sorry, it was a little bit of a tangent, but I felt like I should share.
No, it's incredible. I think the biggest lesson is that change is a process, right? Not a one-time event.
Oh, yeah.
Something I live by, because life is just tough, man. We struggle with a lot of different things, a lot of different addictions, and with those addictions, it's frustrating because we feel like we need to be perfect,
yeah.
Right? And we gotta get it all right the first time, and the second we slip up, it's so frustrating where we just feel like just falling apart.
We feel like all the progress that we made just went back to zero, mm-hmm. when it's not true. Mm-hmm. It's not
totally. And so the way I like to look at it is, there's this phrase, it's called Deo Volente in Latin, and it's Latin for God willing. So if you think of, if I'm shooting an arrow and I'm aiming at the target, I can do my very best to aim at the center of the target. But I'll let go of the arrow and let it go. But I can't control the wind. I can't control the fire. I can't control the deer that's going to jump in front of that arrow before it actually hits the target. Right? But say I shoot that arrow and I do my very best to aim at the middle, but it veers off course from that wind. That's outside of my control. All I can control is my effort and where I aim the arrow, and God takes care of the rest. But an interesting part of that is if you look at like the root, I'm trying to remember the root word of the word sin is they used to use it like to fire arrows. Like it was just another word for, okay, just fire again. And so if you look at that, kind of like what we're talking about with addiction, with sin, all we need to do, it's like with God, I mean, he provides us with as many arrows as we need and as many times as we need to shoot that arrow at the target. Yeah, sometimes we're going to miss, but God's provided us a whole back full of arrows.
Yes.
So if we sin, I mean, dude, just fire again. That's what it's all about, because we fire, we shoot that arrow, we miss, all we do is just, okay, well, the wind was going 2 miles an hour left, so now I just got to aim a little bit right. So it's the same with our addictions. Okay, I messed up yesterday. What did I do wrong? We get that data back, and then we just fire away.
Yeah.
That's the name of the game.
How quick can you bounce back? How quick can you have a positive thought and just bounce back? And you're like, hey, I mean, it happened, but I haven't lost everything that I've gained, like you said, and we're just going to keep moving forward because I'm committed, and I will do this until I get to where I want to be. And it's not a perfectionistic, I talk about this sometime, it's like the light switch versus the dial. It's like you have thoughts to go look at porn and you just want to turn it off and you freak out. It's like turn it off, and it's like light on, like it's just mm-hmm. But instead the dial, like to turn a light down, is just like slowly turn it down,
uh-huh.
So you don't freak out. It's like, hey, this is not me, this is a thought, and I can't control the thought. Just like your arrow analogy, like you can't control the wind, can't control the deer, you can't control what thought pops in,
mm-hmm.
And then you can control what you do with it from there. But I think too often people try to like get out, and it's like thinking like, don't think of an elephant, ah crap. You know, it's like I just thought of an elephant. But instead, just be like okay with the thought, almost speak it like out into reality, out of your subconscious, like and just say it out loud. You're recognizing that you're having that thought, but that you're detached from that thought. You are not the thought. And then instead, just be like, don't judge it. Be okay with it and turn it down. And that helps so much to just like move on and not just fixate on, I got to get that thought out. But it's a dirty thought. Like, I can't. Uh-huh.
What does that look like for you in the moment? That thought comes and it's like, are you sitting there and you try and meditate and just relax? Or how do you turn down the dial?
Oh, dude, that's a good question. Here's an acronym that's really helped, and I think it will help a lot of your listeners. It's BLAST. It stands for bored, lonely, angry, stressed, and tired.
Did you know they teach us that on our missions?
No.
Yeah, that same exact acronym.
They never taught me that one.
There's a whole handbook. It's called Safeguards for Using Technology.
Oh, really?
And they talk about how to overcome pornography addictions, and they talk about that BLAST method, so let's talk about it.
Great. So I found that for me, when I'm most vulnerable, it's stressed and tired, but mostly stressed. So guys, we're not emotionally aware very often. Like, we're really bad at it.
Yeah.
Women are really good at it. We're really bad. And I was really bad at it. And so a lot of porn addiction is just like, you're not emotionally mature yet. just need to be more emotionally mature, like recognizing how you're feeling, why you're feeling that way, et cetera. And as guys, like, we're not that good.
That's hard.
We got to work on it. Yeah. We got to work on it. So for me, if I just manage my stress, like keep it in that window of tolerance where it's not too high or too low, because that's like bored, right? I just got to like have enough to like keep me like engaged and active, then I'm good. Because here's what the brain does. If you get too stressed, the brain goes, hey, I've got to get something in me and I've got to change. Like, this is too much. I'm just like wigging out. What was the last thing that calmed us? Oh, yeah, it was porn. Well, let's go to porn.
That's the default.
Let's go back here. And you're like, no, I don't want to. It's like, but there's something wrong. Like, this will fix it. I know it will. It's like, yeah, but your brain isn't able to think of the result after that you had, like the shame, the guilt, the crap. It's just like, we just got to fix this, dude. SOS, like, fix it now. And it's like, then it's just sending off, like, where did you get it last time? How do you get alone? Like, how do you, you know, it's just like, whoa, I don't want to do that. So if you, but if you can remove, like, make sure that you don't get to that point where you're overly stressed and your brain's freaking out, your chances of relapsing go way down, right? Mm. So just being aware of like, hey, what are you? Is it when you're bored? Is it when you're lonely, angry, stressed, tired? Then identify and start journaling about it. That's what helped me a ton, is like start writing it down. When am I most vulnerable? What are the situations? And then it was just like, yeah, I would still fail at first. It was like, you know, like, and for me, just to be clear, like it was like once a month. And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, I'm better than what, but it's like, it wasn't like every day. And so this is what worked for me. And I would even go like 6 months, a year, like whatever. It was just like, but it's just there. And like, dudes like women. And it's just like, they know what they're doing. Like, it's a multi-billion dollar industry. They put it in front of you on purpose and they know that you'll look at it. And they know that it releases hormones where you want it. So it's like crazy smart. It's smarter than we are. And anyway, like, I just feel like if going back to, I guess, pulling back, find out what you are and start journaling about it. Start writing down, hey, what are the situations where I struggle? And then just get better. And that's how you identify how to get better. Mm-hmm. Journaling.
It's interesting because it's almost like creating a habit is the same as getting rid of a bad habit, right? Because we read about in Atomic Habits. I'm sure you've read that book or heard about it. But
it's so good.
Like the trigger events, right? You have the trigger and then the habit you do right after. And all you got to do is fix that trigger and fix that. So it's habit stacking, which I love to do. So for example, like I have a habit of journaling every night that I'm trying to install right now. So what I do when an alarm goes off at 9 o'clock on my phone, it's my digital sunset and my phone goes off. And then my trigger now when my phone goes off is that I go and journal.
Yeah.
So it can be the same with any kind of addiction or anything that we're trying to get rid of in our life.
Yep, good or bad.
All we do is just
that's an SOP.
Find that trigger.
So standard operating procedure. We set up SOPs to be able to, yeah, it's a trigger.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, dude, I've loved this conversation, man. It will help so many of our listeners, and I appreciate you being open about it. And because it's a big problem, dude, and it's super prevalent. Especially with younger people, so.
With anybody. Dude, I'm surprised how, like, I mean, 60-year-old men, like, anybody, dude. If you're male, you qualify. And it's not just males. I mean, I'm surprised at the numbers of women that are struggling with it. And that's, think about how hard that is. Because traditionally, we've always said that it's a male problem for the most part, and a few women struggle with it. Now there's this huge rise in women that are struggling with it.
Yeah.
What kind of guilt and shame are they going to feel? Yeah. Because remember, like the guilt and shame that you feel a lot of times is like, oh, this is only me. Like, I'm the only one that struggles with this. Women are going to feel like no women struggle with this. Like, I am broken even more, right? Because it's not a woman's problem. It's more men. So the truth is it's a multi-billion dollar industry. They're smart. They know what they're doing. We have to become a more emotionally mature so that we can go and get that out of the way. And I mean, my whole point of all of this and sharing this is go live your best life. Like, don't do things that are going to keep you down. Go after your goals, go after your dreams, because you can create them and you can make all of them happen. If you can think it, you can put it into reality. But sometimes it takes some big moves of getting things out of your life to be able to make that happen.
Totally. Love it, man. So kind of Before we wrap up with the last question, we talked a little bit about this, but how can my listeners support and serve you? You got the event coming up. What's the date for the event?
September 5th through the 7th. Like it says here, but it's actually Homestead Ranch, which is only like 30 minutes outside of town. You go towards Pine Valley. And anyway, if you want details on it, shoot me a DM on Instagram, and I'll send you the link to where you can learn more, see the website. You can book a one-on-one call with me and Nick Alfano, the starter of the program, and you can learn more about it just on a Zoom call with us too.
So, and what about buying real estate? They can reach out to you about that through just Instagram?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram's probably the best way. Yeah, just shoot me a DM on Instagram again. And yeah, if you're looking to like build passive income, dude, if there's young single hustlers that are listening to this, all of you should be buying a house as soon as you can and renting out rooms. All of you. Because you're going to build equity. So your principal is going to increase. Your cash flow when you leave is going to be there for you. And then you get to, it's a tax write-off. Like, it's a no-brainer for these kids to do that. Like, it's the best way to get in. You're getting in with like an FHA loan. It's like little money down, good interest rate, even though they're kind of high right now. It can still work. And your down payment is like nothing. So if you want help with it, hit me up. I've done it a million times. It can help you through the process and make sure that the numbers work to where you're setting yourself up for the next 5 years and in the future. Like, just one house can literally change your life. Mm-hmm. Just one. Mm-hmm. I've seen it multiple times. It's happened to me. That's my story.
Reach out, guys, for real. Hit him up on Instagram. Listen to his podcast, too. How can they find your podcast?
Anywhere. So wherever you listen to podcasts, just look up the Eric Gubler podcast. You'll find it.
Dude. Okay, let's do it. Okay, so last question.
Yeah.
So if I want you to imagine, I mean, you've kind of had this experience, man, which is pretty special. So I'm excited to hear your answer. But I want you to imagine that you're on your deathbed. And you've achieved everything you've ever wanted in this life, right? You've created so much success for you and your family. You've achieved every single goal that you've ever set. And you've actualized that infinite potential that God has given you. You did it, man. And you're about to pass away, but everything that you've created is going to be disappeared, and your family won't remember anything about you. It's all going to be taken away besides two things. And these things are called the two truths, things that you know to be true because you've lived them and experienced them. What would those two things be for you?
First one is fail faster. We're so scared of failure. And it's what's keeping us down, holding us back from just going and getting what we want. And if we would just not be scared of it, we could go and do it. And you think if you could just remove that emotion of fear, how much we could do it. Now, it's there to protect us a lot of times. But I think we use fear way too often. We got to know when to use it. Fear should be there to motivate. Again, my lot talks about it, like, you know, fear made me show up for my podcast today. Like, it made me like prepare and like, you know, be better. But like, when fear keeps you from going after your goals, that doesn't serve you. So fail faster. Because if you think about it, there's only, you know, to maybe get to where you're at, to where like Caden's at, there's a certain amount of failures that he was willing to go through.
Plenty, dude.
To be able to get to where you're at. And if you look at it that way, it's like, it's not like you fail on purpose, but you're just, well, let's just fail faster. Because if we want to get to where he's at faster, we just need to fail. So that would be number one for me. The second one is you can create your life however you want to, any way that you want to. Like, it is yours. It is already yours. If you can dream it, it can become a reality. It goes in tandem with the fear thing. But I just feel like it's just amazing to like look back in my life and to be able to say like, okay, this is what I'm going to work towards. This is what we're going to build. This is what we're going to do. And then I pinch myself and I'm like, holy crap, I'm living it. And it's like, why didn't I dream bigger? Because if I would have dreamt bigger, I would be living it right now too. But you know, like I said, what you're capable of becoming, you haven't even imagined yet. So it's just a continual process. But just believe in yourself, and you can create whatever you want in life.